What's up, everyone? I'm Nick Marty, and this is a Spotlight On, and today we are talking with a very familiar ESPN host, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Feel me?
What were
you saying over there? You had your hands?
I don't know. I'm not going to try to dance like Taylor.
That's how I did. Everyone looks at me like, that guy's got some issues. He's on something tonight.
Don't you love it when you put on a song and you're just like fully on in it?
I do that when I'm alone.
Yeah.
But anyone else in the room, I'm like, oh, this is pretty good, man. Yeah. This is chill. This is chill. And they're like, Nick, are you good? Are you good?
I've definitely danced to this song. Done my own choreography in the bathroom. Like, I am Taylor Swift's backup anytime she
needs. Like, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
I listened to this actually on the treadmill this morning.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie about it. It kept me going, and then all the rugby guys, once they hear this, they're going to be like, bro, shame.
But guys like that, like the banter in the locker room, they're like, I could see that.
You know, Britney Spears' Toxic is a poppin' song in the locker room. I'll tell you that much for free.
It's stayed for many years.
Like, it has.
It's still going.
And we'll still go out and bash people up. That's us. Well, what's up, everyone? I'm Nick Marty. This is a Spotlight on AfterBuzz TV, and I'm joined by a very beautiful lady. Do you know her?
Thanks.
Of course you do. Julie Stewart Binks, from an ESPN host. And now, you have been hosting sports for so long, and
you make me sound so older, like, oh, it's been a really long time. No.
Look, it seems like you dove into a very specific part of the industry, which is sports hosting. So I can imagine when people are asking you, what do you want to do when you grow up? You're like, I know exactly what I want to do. Am I correct on that?
Well, that is such an interesting question because I grew up in Canada, in that foreign land far, far away. Where,
Ontario.
Yes, Toronto, the six. And when I grew up, like, hockey's just so big in Canada.
Yeah.
That's all I ever wanted to do. I wanted to be a hockey insider, like the guys breaking the news, kind of like the Adam Schefters of hockey.
Uh-huh.
And then, I mean, long story short, I lived in England. I lived in sort of small towns in Canada. And to be able to break into the U.S., like, you can't be just hockey, like, at all. Unless you kind of just want to be in that one platform. And the U.S. is so big. You know, it's football, it's basketball, it's, you know, soccer's coming up, but it's baseball, it's all these big sports. So I really had to push myself to learn and to know and to meet people that could, you know, help me achieve those goals. And I was lucky enough to get hired at FS1 when the network launched to be a part of that. And that was, I mean, the coolest thing ever, but also sort of daunting because I moved to the States. Like, I had to get a social security number, like all these crazy things that you guys grow
like, what
up
is
with.
This? What is social
I know,
security?
Like,
number?
I had to wait in line for 2 hours and like get there, and it was wild. But so long story short, I didn't know necessarily what that dream looked like when I was a kid, and it has changed. And I think, you know, as we sit here in the studio and we're live streaming everything, that the dream keeps changing and that you really have to be adaptable to it.
And so, I mean, what was your first sports interview like? You say you knew what you wanted to cover hockey at the time. What was your first hockey interview?
I think when I was in college, because I used to do local college debate, which was, I was so awkward and awful. And like at the end of interviews, I would do whatever the sport was that I was interviewing someone on. Uh-huh. Like I would go do it and be like, signing off for Queens TV, I'm Julie Stewart Binks. And I'd like run around and like kick a soccer ball. And I'd be like, that's the end.
I picture a shot put. See ya later.
Yeah. Like, you know, sort of local TV goofy stuff.
Yeah.
But I always tell kids that ask me, it's like, you got to just get the reps, go do it. Because very few people are amazing when they first start doing TV. Like,
yes,
you're awkward. You don't know how to use your hands or what to say or how to be comfortable. And I'm still trying to figure out how to do that.
I feel like a lot of people actually can start to relate to that because a lot of people are starting on YouTube now.
Mm-hmm.
And people assume that you're going to get a million subscribers immediately. And it's so hard for the first year or two that everyone can relate to that who's made it, just like you're saying. But I just feel like a platform like YouTube is so relevant to that kind of concept. You think you're just going to jump into it and be good at it, but it takes time and you got to get in the reps, work on the editing, learn how to edit, yeah. learn who to meet to
be
get
better.
Be able
to do everything on your yeah. own. And I have so many kids now shadow me these days. And I say, you know, when, because they take me out for coffee, I say, have something that you can show somebody. You know, you can knock on the door all you want and get that meeting with an executive. What are you going to show them? And mm-hmm. so if you have YouTube, like when I was younger, as we all know, I'm very old.
No, we didn't
have YouTube or any yeah. of that kind of stuff. So it's so great now. Like even now, people my age and people in the industry, we're trying to reinvent ourselves and trying to create something new. And we have all the tools. Like, you don't need somebody to say, here's your job and here's your paycheck. It's like, you come to them with what you create. Mm-hmm. And everything is all about the creative process and being able to do it all on your own. And there is no conventional job anymore. It's not like you're a TV news anchor and someone is the TV cameraman and someone writes your stuff. It's like, no, you got to do everything because that's the way it's going.
It is. And I feel like every individual actually at this point is their own business. You are yeah. the secretary. You are the director. You also are the driver. And while you're driving, you have to somehow figure out, I got to make a stop.
It's like what Kanye said. Don't be a businessman. Be a businessman.
Man. Oh, that's right. I remember reading that quote, too. And I was like, shocks. Through the body.
All right. That's it. Yeah. So.
That was it. I agree. And I think that a lot of people actually watching now will take that away from this. And I think you've already let out a lot of good points that for free. I mean, this is...
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll invoice you afterwards because, you know, in media, got to make some money, too.
This is like the sponsored ads.
Yeah.
Do you wonder how I drive this Lamborghini? Yeah. Well, I have a free ebook.
I can certainly talk about making it in the industry. I don't know how to actually do it, but I can help you try to get there.
It's really appreciated because I know from even my perspective, when I came to LA, it was like, how to start. Mm-hmm. And you got to understand, you just have to go out there and film something.
You just have to do anything.
Anything.
Like even if it's the stupidest thing ever, just do it. Anything, just to get yourself comfortable or to have something or to be like, okay, that's how I make a video and that's how I put it up and that's how I edit it. But if you don't do it, and I tell people, kids that say, hey, I'm working at ESPN as a writer or as a production assistant, but I want to be on TV. It's like, well, you're doing the wrong thing. Go to a small, small, small place mm-hmm. and try to be on TV. And maybe it's in, I don't know, random town Canada like me, and you go and they let you go on TV and it's the craziest yeah. thing ever, but then they keep letting you on TV yep. and then you end up having a demo reel and then you can send that off to places. So
I completely agree.
Hopefully that helps whoever is possibly wanting to get into an industry like this.
I'd love to even talk more about that. We'll come back to that because I think that is really valuable information because I just know how many people come here and on different chats, like for host chats or actors chats, they're like, hey, I'm in LA. Any good site referrals to get started? You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But we'll jump back into that. So let's talk about a little bit more about you. So in college, you had your sign outs, you know, doing the sport that you did.
Yeah.
And then where'd you go from college? You said you've lived in 3 countries now. So what happened after college?
Yeah, I ended up going to England to do my master's there because I was trying to get a job after my undergrad and I couldn't anywhere.
Really?
And so, yeah. And I had a double degree in phys ed and drama, which I just did because I thought that'd be fun, but it has ended up working out really well now. So I went to England and I wanted to do something different from my peers. I thought, who else is going to try to get into the industry? I need to have a different background. Went there, lived there, worked there, you know, interned at Sky News, Sky Sports, got the full thing. That's where I really got into soccer.
Uh-huh.
And that's sort of how my interest has developed now, which is why I cover so much soccer. But then decided to move back to Canada. I had been offered a job there as a producer, which was great. But they told me if I wanted to be on TV, I'd have to change my accent. And I wasn't ready to go like full British at that point.
Really?
Because then it would be, people would be like, wait, you're from Canada, but now you have a British accent.
It would be a little interesting. I think everyone would dive in
like,
on their own
Hello,
Wikipedia.
Hello, Governor. Welcome to Sky News. This is Julie. Like, no.
This is Cockney Sports. Cockney yeah. Sports.
Like, develop a full-on Cockney accent. They're like, whoa, not that.
Whoa, hold on. Then all of a sudden you throw in a little Batman, and they're like,
yeah.
Cockney from Gotham.
I know. Like, there's a lot of different British accents out there.
There are.
But yeah, I decided to come back, worked at Hockey Night in Canada, worked at small towns, covering local hockey, and that was volunteer, you know, reporting. Ended up getting a job, a full-time job on TV with a paycheck in a town called Winnipeg, and that was the coolest.
I know Winnipeg.
Yes, it's
It is one of, like, the
coldest. I like
coldest.
How I was proud of myself. Yeah. I know.
I know a Canadian city, everybody. that is the capital of that province, which is provinces like states.
I'm not trying to sound... Quebec is the capital of Canada, right? Where no, is it? Where is it? No. Where is it?
Come on, man.
Trust me, this is a question that's never been answered.
Quebec is a province, which is okay. like a state. Okay. And then Quebec City is the capital of Quebec.
Okay.
That's like
that's
saying
what it was.
New York City in New York.
You sound like a dumb. That's what I sounded
no,
like.
No, no, but Ottawa, forever. Ottawa's the
capital.
So
you had a full-time job. My, Ottawa.
Yeah, yeah.
So you had a full-time job.
Yeah, and then, you know, kind of worked there, went to a smaller town. Again, it's all about getting experience and repetition.
Yep.
And I was on every single day, did my own documentary, anchored every show, was a cameraman. And then I got an agent, and I was flown down to L.A. Yep.
Yeah.
Got, you know, went out Hollywood real quick.
Hey, it's
and
a big
I was
deal.
In
it's
Saskatchewan,
hard.
Which is the opposite of Hollywood. And, you know, came down here for a bunch of interviews, flown back for an audition, thought there's no chance in the entire world I'm going to get this.
What was the audition for? Do you remember?
It was for FS1. Okay. It was like a sports anchor role.
Yeah.
I thought, all right, like, we'll do this. But, like, why would anyone offer me this job? I'm nobody in Canada. And they did offer it. I still don't know how or why.
That's amazing.
There's probably a mistake, but we're too far past that point. And it was the first day of FS1 was like the greatest day of my entire life. And I'll never forget it. It was just, it was Make-A-Wish. Like I got it, you know, I had Andy Roddick, Donovan McNabb, Gary Payton, Jay and Dan, these two guys from Canada also came down. And there was just all of us. We got to do photo shoots and like radio drops and sign autographs for people that didn't know who I was for sure. Roddick, yes, but
it was a sports person's dream right there.
It was every, and it was like, here, you want to host your own show? You want to do all these things? And it was, and I got to move to LA. And it
was
like,
what more do you want from that?
Get rid of your coat and your boots and come live the Hollywood dream.
And it worked out really well for you. And mind you, you put in the work for that.
Yeah, like, you know, I tell everyone, maybe that at that point, that was sort of like a golden ticket for me. But I had busted my butt and lived in these small towns and gotten my master's and done every internship under the sun.
Yeah.
And if you, it's so hard because you want to get everything right away. You know, mm-hmm. when you're, you know, we're sitting here right now like, you know, I want to be on Good Morning America tomorrow. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, of course, of course.
Or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's like if you just keep working hard and you want it enough,
yeah,
it will happen. And sometimes it feels like you're spinning your gears and you're just, it's not going to happen, but it will. And even that, like people, whatever, you know, there's opportunity and luck that kind of work its way in there, but it only comes if you're working hard. And sometimes if you aren't working hard and you aren't dedicated to it, you'll fail at that.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, you could get the opportunity, and it could be gone in 2 weeks. So.
But you were prepared for the moment.
Yes.
And you executed, yes. And you got it.
Got rid of the Canadian accent.
L.A. And, such an L.A. Yeah. thing to do. We were talking about how name switching is such a common thing.
I got rid of the whole, like, the O's and the oots and the
did
boots.
They get you a dialect coach? No, or no, did you no. just learn it yourself? You're
yeah,
like, okay,
just,
it's
like,
easy.
Slap that out of me.
Who are you? Emily. Yeah. I'm no longer.
Yeah, like. Like, yeah, you got a little American twang in me there. I'll be like, yeah, we're going out tonight. No.
Then Cockney
hey,
comes
y'all.
Back.
Hey,
Cockney
y'all.
Batman comes back in. So during FS1, you were covering how many different sports? And did you have to learn anything new about these sports? You said soccer and then football, American football.
Yeah, I did all of them. I already knew so much about them because it's just you stay involved in no matter what. It's like news if you want to be – if you're interested in it, like, you follow it. But yeah. I'd say probably the college sports was stuff I didn't necessarily have at my fingertips
True.
Every day. There yeah. was Canadian college sports, which people probably don't even know exists. Like, there are colleges in Canada that have
There's
sports.
There's also American football in Canada.
Well, Canadian football.
Is it called Canadian? But it's American yeah. football in Canada, right?
No.
Is it different?
Canadian football, yeah.
Well, I have friends in Vancouver. I was like, y'all have football here?
Yes, it is football, but it's different rules.
What?
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is it arena football?
No, it's called CFL. It's called Canadian Football
this
League.
This is news to me, people. So you are hearing this as I'm hearing
yes,
it.
Yes, I'm breaking news. There is Canadian football in Canada.
Are you
going to
write
Canada.
A press release right after this?
Three downs.
Really?
Yeah, and like the field goals are, like the uprights are, there's like a bigger end zone. So they're not at the end. There's like space.
That's insane.
The fields are huge. There, it's more of like a passing game.
See, the thing about you is, even though you're from Canada, this shows that you know everything. Like you said, you got to know a little bit about everything.
Yeah.
Look at this, sports, anything. Do you even know curling?
Yeah. We had to do curling when I was in Saskatchewan. Like, these are sports that no one in America has to know. I had to know. And now, you know, I have to know all the sports now.
I mean, Olympics, are you not fazed by anything? They're like, check out the underwater basket weaving ice water challenges. And you're like, oh my.
Yeah, I used to do that.
McFarlane is just off the rails with this one today, the baskets.
No, we had to do all that kind of
that's
local
crazy.
Stuff in Canada, like broom ball tournaments I would cover.
Haven't even heard of that.
You know, other things like fencing, and I've literally done every sport, but curling was a big one. I didn't know it, and I had to learn it, and then it was obsessive in Saskatchewan, which is above North Dakota, for anyone listening. But it was that's all anyone wanted.
Yeah.
So I learned that, and then now that only helps me for like 1 week every 4 years. Huh. At
but
the
it
Olympics.
Still helps.
Yeah.
Now, even jumping around, for me, I'm even like, does this, being a beautiful female in this part of the industry, are guys sometimes like intimidated? They're like, oh, when you meet a guy, they're like, oh my God, she knows too much. She knows more than me about sports.
No, I mean, like, most guys always try to battle you on it, and they get sort of insecure if, you know, I've been at a bar and some guy starts talking about something and I'm like, no, that's not a thing. Or, no, that trade has not fully been completed yet. They're like, oh, what do you know? Like, you're a girl. Or like, oh, you think you know so much? And then they start, like, I've had battles at bars with guys. That's, like, not uncommon. You could ask that to essentially every female reporter anchor.
Yeah.
It's, like, guys get sort of, like, territorial. Like, no, I know more sports than this girl that walks in. You're like, actually, it's my job, too. And then they're, like, even more upset about it. So the guys that don't have to feel like they battle you every time you talk sports are, like, the cooler, more secure guys that think, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
I can talk to a girl about sports. And that should be a positive.
Yeah.
But a lot of guys get, like, weird about it.
Well, let's talk about that. You know, how has it been breaking into this industry as a female? That's, just saying, it seems difficult. It's like a female comedian trying to become on top. Like, Amy Schumer is now on top. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's unique because, of course, being, like, a female in a male-dominated world is that your gender is something that's highlighted. That is because there's not as many females in certain circumstances. To be honest, now, based, like, in the circles I cover stuff, I know all the people so well that my gender doesn't – I don't feel like, oh, I'm the girl here. I'm just another reporter here. It doesn't matter, you know, what parts we were born with. But then when we have more women – and, like, I'm a big proponent of trying to get – you know, taking young kids, young girls out for coffee, trying to help them get into the industries. We need more women because then it becomes less about the gender and more just about what you can offer and your job.
And less battles at the bar.
Yeah.
Because
then it's more like, I got more girls on my side that we can and battle. And, you know, some people say, oh, well, of course you got your job because, you know, you're blonde hair. And oh, if you know a bit about sports, you can do that. And that, I think that's such a cop out when people say that. Of course, TV is a visual medium. So, does my blonde hair help? Sure, maybe got me in the door. Maybe it got me, like, someone to answer, like, an email or a call, but it didn't help me stay in the industry.
Yeah, because,
like,
you've lasted...
You can get found
out
very...
Not a long time.
Yeah. But you can get found out very quickly, and those people that did rely on their looks to get into a certain place, and of course there are people, they won't have the longevity of their career, and they probably don't want it as much.
Yeah.
But that's not saying that, you know, because, you know, guys might say, oh, I didn't get a fair shake. And it's, you know, every different look is sort of gone through in the industry, like trying to make everything more diverse, too. And you could say there's like a plethora of blonde hair girls out there now. So it's different. But you got to be able to do more than just what you see. And that's how you have a career. Because you know what? 20 years. I'm not going to look like this. I mean, who knows? We're in LA. I still could, but...
all things are possible.
But you got to be able to bring something more to the table, and that's all up here.
So what you're really telling, you know, girls out there that are trying to follow in your footsteps is come, look your best, no matter what.
Yeah.
Even guys, too. Look your best, but also have the knowledge in your pocket.
Yeah, you got to be able to back up everything that and as a female, you have to work twice as hard as any dude.
Right now. Yeah. Until we get more females in the industry.
But you always
right?
have to be prepared that you can never be found out. Like, you, I work twice as hard at night, like watching stuff, reading things, because you don't want anyone to give that excuse of, oh, you just got here because of the way you look. It's like, no, I have all these things. I know all this, but also I put in the time. I went and got the master's. I went and paid my dues around the country. And there's no reason why I shouldn't be here right now.
I agree, and I would love to see that. I would love to see that as well.
Get ready to fight somebody.
Another bar battle.
Oh yeah, I'm the one starting them, I think.
You're like, bet you didn't know a female knew more than you.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Want to fight? What's that? Maybe an event that you haven't covered yet that would be a dream come true.
Oh, I mean, that's a great question. I've always kind of wanted to cover all of the events in the world. Like, that's the dream job. Like, I want to do all of them. I would love to host. I would love to be the main host broadcaster for an Olympics. I think that I grew up as a competitive figure skater and as a hockey player. I still play hockey. My dad was an Olympic rower for Canada, but Canada pulled out in those Olympics in 1980. And it's just my grandpa was an Olympic doctor, and it's like always been in my family.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go to the Olympics so badly, and obviously that didn't happen. But I would like to be the main, Mike Tirico of the Olympics someday. That would be one of those cool moments, like when you, even if you get to broadcast like the opening ceremonies and you're talking people through, like it's bigger than sort of just a one-off event.
It is, like, and it's recurring.
Everyone,
want to bring back the same people. Especially NBC always has the same crew going.
Yeah,
every
like that
time.
Would be pretty awesome. And I mean, the big ones like a Super Bowl. And
have you covered the Super Bowl?
I haven't covered it, but I've been at it for like auxiliary shows and stuff.
Okay, but that would be another dream.
I always say like I would probably pick Olympics over Super Bowl if I had to choose, and I think that's probably because I just my background.
It's in your blood.
Yeah, Olympics it's one of those things that it's like that was my first goal in life was to win the Olympics. And so if I can broadcast it, maybe
that's
like
the next best thing,
yeah.
If you ask me.
Yeah, that would be like me winning the Olympics. That would be
if
my
you're
goal
throwing
medal.
It to commercial, that's just as good as like bending down and getting the gold.
Yeah.
You're throwing it. And we'll be right back.
Same. Yeah.
Who's throwing it to commercial? You are.
Just as much work, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think so. And I mean, obviously getting all the knowledge is just as much as training every single day.
Yes, it's harder.
So what can we expect from you in, you know, the next year, say?
That's a great question. You might want to ask my agent on that. I don't know. What we're really excited for is I got this U.S. World Cup qualifier coming up on Friday. So the U.S. is still looking to qualify in soccer for the World Cup. It started off pretty poorly, and they lost their first two games. They fired their coach, brought in an old coach in Bruce Arena, and things have been on the up and up. And so they're still they cannot mess up, basically.
Really? Okay,
there's
yeah.
A small opportunity for messing up right now. This
really?
Is I work on talking good on TV.
Hey, you you already have more knowledge than I do about this whole situation.
Yeah, well, you got to be able to figure out the words to say. Yes, I'm quite the wordsmith right now. But yeah, so it's exciting, and they can qualify in the next sort of couple weeks, but they also could slip down, and we might not see the U.S. in the World Cup, which would be
insane,
devastating for soccer in this country. So I think what they've done is they've righted the ship. They still have a lot of work to do, but there's this kid, and everyone watching this, like regardless of being a soccer fan, Christian Pulisic is the next big thing. He plays in Bundesliga in Germany for Borussia Dortmund, and he is the real deal. He's like he's one of those guys that will transcend sports. Like, he was up for an ESPY this year for best like comeback or breakthrough athlete of the year, up with like Dak Prescott and guys like that.
Yeah,
this is a soccer kid, so that's good for the sport too. So lots of good things to be hopeful for. And then so I do that, and I'll do MLS, which is also a league that's like really on the up and up, and college football too.
That's starting up soon, so you got a lot of that to cover.
This weekend starting up, so busy fall coming up.
That's awesome. And anything that you would like to tell the people, any fans, any other tidbits, advice?
Not any real tidbits, but like just keep going for your dreams. You know, everyone's going to tell you no, and they're going to slam the door, and they're going to say you're not good enough, but you have to believe you are. And if you think you are, you'll make it happen.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. We had Julie Stewart Binks in the studio today. We got advice on making it in the industry, making it in the particular part of the industry, how you got there, have knowledge, and what your...
How I have knowledge. That's have knowledge. The most important thing. I am all-knowing.
Come to me for advice. And we're also going to...
And accents. Lots of accents.
Oh, yeah. We got Cockney yes. Batman. Yes. Cockney Canadian.
And the y'all, like the Southern JSB as well.
People are like realizing, and now they're so grateful for everything that we've covered.
They already have logged off at this point.
No,
anyone sticking around... You're the real winner.
They definitely have not. But thank you so much for being here. I had fun chit-chatting about sports and where you came from and where you are headed.
Thanks.
College sports coming up.
Thank you so much, Nick.
I'm Nick Marty, and this is AfterBuzz TV Spotlight On. Thank you guys so much. We'll catch you later.
That was a rehearsal, right?
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Do it.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.